Today's call to worship comes from Psalm 119. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong. They walk in his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. And now we will have some more worship music. Are there any guests today who would like to be introduced? Not seeing any guests? Welcome, everyone. First, I would like to highlight a few announcements. First, if everyone has seen the front of their bulletins today, announcement number 5, thanks go out to Eric Peters for this beautiful rendition of NKMC that's on the bulletin cover today. Eric designed this at the request of the worship committee to be used as a cover for thank you cards that are sent out on behalf of the church. So, thanks, Eric. If you look closely, you can see me in there. I'd also like to highlight number 11 here. Parents and caregivers of children under 5, if you're interested in participating in a chat and play group here at the church, please see the sign-up sheet in the back foyer and the nursery. As well, Faith number 10, Faith Exploration classes, will begin this Thursday. These are an opportunity to discuss what we believe and why we believe it. And though these conversations are often a precursor to baptism, it's not assumed that that's the goal. And, of course, anyone is welcome to participate in these discussions. I would also like to highlight number 8, that the Spring Smorg is coming up. There's sign-up sheets for helping with that, for preparation, cleanup, and serving, and all that kind of good stuff that is necessary to make it happen. So, and then number 7, Bulle arrived in Canada 1 year ago, on February 17th, 2016, and he's been a member of our church. Well, he's been coming to our church since then. And so to celebrate a year here, everyone is invited downstairs after the church service next Sunday on the 19th to join in and celebrate with him. And does anyone else have any other announcements they'd like to highlight? If not, we'll move into a time of sharing. There's also a few things that I'd like to highlight for sharing. Number one, condolences go out to Carl and Dana Clausen, Shirley and Jerry Lange, Don and Rose Clausen, and their extended family and friends on the passing of their mother, Elizabeth Clausen, age 93, on February 4th, 2017. The funeral service was held here on Saturday, February 11th. And condolences also go out to Anna and Dietrich Funk, Delfina Aguirre, and Bridget Funk, and their extended family and friends on the passing of Anna's sister, Tina Funk, age 68, in Paraguay, on February 8th. The funeral service was also held February 11th. Condolences also to Ursula and Ingo Zapp and their extended family and friends on the passing of Ursula's brother-in-law, Hans Reinhardt Enz, age 91, on February 1st. The funeral service was held at First Mennonite Church on February 7th. And also, our prayers go out to Hans Sawatsky, as he's scheduled for surgery February 16th. Can we please keep him in our prayers at this time? And does anyone else have anything they'd like to share for sharing time?
Hi. I just want to say how happy I am to be back in my church community. And while I feel almost like a superstar because you're all so happy to see me, and I can tell you I'm just as happy to see all of you. And just to give you a very quick update, Jordan had his second surgery when I was there, and he is doing better. It's still going to be a very long recovery because of the damage to his spine, but certainly doing better. And I just want to thank everyone very much for all your prayers and for keeping me in your hearts. It certainly meant a lot and carried me through a rough, difficult year for him as well. Thank you.
Does anyone else have anything else they'd like to share at this time? If not, I'd like to also highlight a few more things here. I'd just like to highlight everyone who's in personal care homes and in hospitals. So, in St. Boniface, there's Jacob Dick and Peter Hirschfeld. In Britannia Personal Care Home, Martin Bergen, Susanna Buller, Agnes Dirksen, John Goosen, Susanna Harder, Anna Hildebrandt, Elizabeth Clausen, Hildegard Knopf, Heidi Schrader, Katharina Wagner. And then in Cedarwood, Jake Dick. In Irene Barron Eden Center, Mary Gunther. In the Maples Care Home, Annie Stein. In Tashay Personal Care Home, Rob Bell. And then to please also keep those in our church family in our prayers who are undergoing treatments and struggling with long-term health issues at this time, including Darlene Bergen, Jacob Dick, Heinrich Fust, Kim Hoban, Anna Clausen, Kim Lind, Gary Martins, Peter Hirschfeld, Tree Harris, Edda Redekop, and Hildy Weens. And now, if all the children would like to come forward, Ingrid has a story for you.
Good morning. How are you today? Lots of little guys, that's good. Today I'm going to tell you a story that I heard when I was little, probably around the same age as Jalen and Rhea, around there. Our family used to read a devotional calendar every day at supper time. And one day, the story was very interesting. Well, it probably was interesting lots of days, but one day I remember. It was, and it kind of links with what is going on in church today. There was a person who was very upset because they had used some unkind words and they felt really bad about it. So they decided that they would go to a doctor and ask for help with this problem. So they went to the doctor and they said, "I've used some unkind words and hurt many, many people's feelings, and I want to feel better about this." So the doctor said, "Okay, I have a plan. I want you to go to a store, and I want you to buy a pillow that is full of feathers. And then I want you to take that feather pillow, and when you walk home from the store, I want you to open the feather pillow and drop all the feathers on the road on the way from the store back to your house." And I don't know about you, but I think that's kind of a weird way to to fix a problem of unkind words. Maybe that's why I remember the story. But the person did what the doctor said, and the last thing the doctor said, come and see me again tomorrow. So he did what the doctor said, he bought the pillow, he dropped the feathers on his way between the store and home, and the next day he went to the doctor and he said, you know what, I don't really feel much better. And the doctor said, well, now comes the second part of my plan. You need to go back where you started dropping the feathers, and you need to pick up every single feather. How do you think that went? Not very good. And the person didn't even have to do it. I guess all of you already know that's not going to work, is it? So the person said to the doctor, that's never going to work. Why are you telling me to do this? And then he said, I'm sorry to tell you, but when you say unkind things, they spread like feathers in the wind, and you can never get them all back. So the only way to not feel bad about that is to think before you open your mouth. Or, yeah, or open the pillow. So today, the grown-ups are going to be hearing about how words can hurt sometimes more than weapons, and how we need to be careful about what we say and think. And again, you guys are examples, because you don't think it's safe too many mean things, I don't think. So we want to be more like you. Can we bow our heads for prayer? Heavenly Father, we sometimes say things in anger that hurt other people. Help us guard against hateful and hurtful words, and forgive us as we ask those who we hurt to forgive us too. Help us to let every word we speak be pleasing in your sight. Amen. And you guys get to go to Sunday school. And maybe Jacob's getting ice cream, I don't know.
And now we will sing number 377 in our blue hymnals, Healer of Our Every Ill. And if you are able, please stand. Let us now bow our heads for a time of prayer. For those lives who are broken by distress, may the God of healing restore you. For those whose lives are broken by fear, may the God of healing restore you. For those whose lives are broken by anger, may the God of healing restore you. For those whose lives are broken by pain, may the God of healing restore you. For those whose lives are broken by illness, may the God of healing restore you. For those whose lives are broken by sin, may the God of healing restore you. God of healing, gently touch these lives with your Spirit. Bring warmth and comfort, life and wholeness, restoration into fractured lives and souls. In your name we pray. Amen. And now we will have some, we will take the offering, and Rudolph will again play our music for us. Today's scripture reading comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 5, 21-37. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, "Do not murder," and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin, but anyone who says, You fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there, in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled with your brother, then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, Do not commit adultery. But I tell you, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go to hell. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, causes her to become an adulteress. And anyone who marries the divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard it said long ago to the people, Do not break your oath, but keep the oaths that you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Do not swear by your head, for you cannot even make one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one.
By the quietness in the room, I guess, you feel the strangeness of this text. It is not a very pleasant text. When I grew up, I always thought the Sermon on the Mount was one of the beautiful pieces. And I liked it, that it said, you have heard that said to the old ones, you know, you behave one way, but I tell you, and there's another way. That somehow appealed to my youthful ignorance. because I thought, yes, different than the old ones. No, that's not what it's about. It is a difficult text. The Sermon on the Mount in itself is beautiful, but this text is hard to listen to and hard to preach about. Difficult. So, what is Jesus doing here? He takes a law from the Old Testament, from Deuteronomy, and he stretches it. He takes a law that says, you have heard what is said of those in ancient times, you shall not murder. And whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. And I think each one here can agree with that, right? I mean, yeah, right. No problem. If you commit murder, there will be some punishment. There are consequences to that, and we will not let it go. And that is justice. But then he goes on to say, but I say to you that if you are angry with your brother or sister, you'll be liable to judgment. And if you insult your brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, you fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire. Now, I doubt that anyone here has committed murder. You are good Mennonites, right? But I'm pretty sure, no, not just pretty sure, I am sure that there are people here this morning who have been really, really angry with their brother or sister, or their husband and wife, or wife, or their parents and children, or the bully from school, or the bully at work. I know there's at least one person in this room who has been really angry because I'm guilty. I have been angry, really angry, and I always thought justifiably angry, because I always had a good reason. And I suspect that is true for many of you as well. I read a story about Ruth Bell Graham. That's Billy Graham's wife. Now, the older ones of you remember Billy Graham, right? He was an institution, you could say, in our younger years. Billy Graham was an evangelist, but when he courted his wife, she had grown up in China as a child of missionaries there and had set her heart to be in the foreign missions, and Billy Graham did not want to go to foreign missions, so she wasn't sure she wanted to marry him because he didn't want to go to the foreign missions. So finally she did marry him, and during their lives together, Billy Graham came to depend on her for emotional as well as spiritual support. In other words, I think his wife was as close to a saint as you will get. And then somebody asked her, Ruth, "Mrs. Graham, have you ever considered divorce?" And she thought for a moment, and then she said, "No, I've never considered divorce, but I have considered homicide." In other words, she never thought about divorcing Billy, but sometimes, once in a while, she wanted to kill him. And is there any woman who hasn't sometimes felt like that and can identify with that? It's a humorous answer to a serious question. She didn't really want to kill Billy Graham. But her answer strikes us as funny because it reflects the way that most of us feel sometimes about our husbands or wives. Sometimes. It's difficult to live in close quarters, even with somebody you love, without occasionally getting really, really angry. Is there any married person who has never been really angry with their husband or wife? And if you say you are one, then I'll have to ask you, how long have you been married? Is it more than 30 minutes? But Jesus says, if you are angry with your brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. Of course, husbands and wives are not brothers and sisters, but we know what Jesus means, right? I mean, everybody agrees that when Jesus talks about brothers and sisters, he doesn't talk about physical brothers and sisters. He talks about brothers and sisters in the faith. So, he talks about other Christians. Have you ever been angry with fellow Christians? In other words, Jesus was concerned that his disciples would become angry with each other and that they would tear the church apart. And that's why he went so far as to say, if you are angry with your brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. When I look in the history of our church, and I don't mean just the Mennonite church, and I don't mean just the North Caledonian Mennonite church, I mean the church as a whole, then there is much, am I cutting out? No? Then there is much reason to fear that we are fighting with each other. I once heard about a congregation. Now, you know, pastors sometimes have a weird sense of humor. And they tell each other jokes that are not very funny to other people, but I'll run the risk and tell you a clergy joke anyways. This congregation, they wanted to celebrate their 50th anniversary. And they were going to do that by making T-shirts. And on the T-shirts would be printed 50 years of unity. And they began to argue about whether the T-shirt should be 50% polyester and 50% cotton, or fully cotton. Some said the blend is stronger and keeps longer, and others said no, it should be all natural fiber. And they could really not come together on this issue. The polyester and cotton group went one way, and the cotton group went the other way, and they split right down the middle. And they held two separate celebrations of 50 years anniversary, and both had different kinds of T-shirts, all emblazoned with the words, 50 years of unity. Sometimes that's what we do. We are one. But in this oneness, we use hurtful words and painful actions, and the church breaks apart for absolutely senseless reasons. Reasons that are not important in the scheme of things. So Jesus warns his disciples, and he warns us, that we shall be accountable for our anger against our Christian brothers or sisters, and that there would be an even higher standard of accountability if they insulted their brothers or sisters. And that they could end up in hell if they called their brother or sister a fool. Now, often have you said, that's stupid, so-and-so. And you didn't think that was important? You know, we have a saying that sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It's one of the greatest lies. Sticks and stones can break your bones, but words hurt even more than broken bones. Because they can warp your life forever. So we can take what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount to his disciples and to us in different ways. We can react in different ways. We could say, this is crazy. Nobody can live up to that standard, so I'm not going to even try. I'm walking away. If that's what Christian faith is about, it's not for me. Goodbye. I'm gone. That's one way of reacting. There's another way, and that's what most Christians do, I think, and that is we approach it in this way. We say, I don't think I can deal with that right now, so let's forget it for the moment and move on to something else. The person who responds that way isn't likely to leave the church, but is likely to ignore a lot of scripture. We Christians do that a lot. There are many scripture passages too difficult to deal with, and so we just ignore them. I want to suggest another reaction today. I want us to approach this text with an open mind and see if we can dig down and find some real meaning here. Let's see if there is good news in this message that Jesus has. First, let me say what he does not say. Jesus is not layering one impossible law on top of another. He isn't turning up the heat just to make us miserable. He isn't saying, you thought you had it bad before? I'm going to make it worse. That would be sometimes our reaction to people we don't like, but that's not what Jesus is doing. So what is he doing? He is telling us that it's important to obey the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. Two laws, and they're important. And then he moves beyond the law. You ever noticed that the Old Testament defines righteousness by living according to law? And that the New Testament, especially Jesus and the Gospels, goes beyond the law. Because he says the law is there and it's good, but it is not enough. The law does not bring salvation. No, you have to go beyond the law to the root causes, the things that would cause us to commit murder, the things that would cause us to commit adultery or some other sin. He wants us to deal with those root causes, to nip them in the bud, so to speak, so that they do not become a problem. Anger is the root cause of murder, usually. And lust is the root cause that can lead to adultery. Jesus is telling us, look into yourself and deal with those feelings. The law is the law. That's fine. That's the guidance. And it's something that you want to uphold. But it doesn't solve anything. If you want to be able to live according to the law, you have to go beyond. You have to go into yourself. And if you deal with the feelings that cause you to sin, then you will never be tempted to murder someone or to commit adultery. And then he gives us some practical advice, and I always have a little trouble with that when I think about the ramifications. He says that if, while standing before the altar with your sacrifice, and you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, you are supposed to leave it there and go and reconcile first. Remember when Chris was reading the text, you know, there's a long passage, actually, that, you know, you go and do all these things on the road and... Now, consider that the altar is in Jerusalem at the temple. And the people come from all different towns and out of country to worship in the temple and bring their sacrifices. Now, to leave your sacrifice at the altar and go and reconcile means you hop on the next plane and you fly to wherever. New Zealand, maybe? Or Europe, or wherever you need to go. You have a trip before you that can take a week or two. He's asking a lot, isn't he? He says, it is more important that you go and reconcile with your brother or sister than it is to bring a sacrifice, a worship act of God, before God. You ever think about that? If you want to worship God in the right way, and you have a problem with another person, it is more important to go and reconcile with that person than the act of worship. You cannot worship God. That's how I understand Jesus saying here. You cannot worship God in the right way unless you reconcile with each other. Wow. We cannot worship God without reconciling with each other. There he hits us really deep down, doesn't he? Because so many people, me included, sometimes think that our righteousness comes by being pious. Our righteousness comes by fulfilling the law. Our righteousness comes by being good, and that is as we define it. And Jesus says, hold on a sec. Righteousness is not earned. God will give it to you when you follow these precepts, and that is the loving thing to do, that you do not let something stand between each other. One marriage counselor years back used to say in marriages that had trouble, do not let the sun go down on your anger. If you are angry with each other, try to solve it before you go to bed. And I remember one man asking in a session, he said, and what if we never can solve it? And the counselor said, then you don't get to sleep. Before you get to sleep, you solve it. You have to take it that serious. So he is telling us it is important to obey the commandments, but go beyond it and be very practical in things, how you relate to each other. Jesus is not trying to take all the fun out of being human. He's actually trying exactly the opposite. He's trying to give us joy in our life back. I think when he talks about anger and adultery and divorce, he is really talking about things that hamper us against having good relationships. Anger injures people. When you are angry at someone, that person gets hurt. Dietrich Bonhoeffer once wrote about this text. The angry word is a blow against our brother, a stab at his heart. It seeks to hit, to hurt, and to destroy. A deliberate insult is worse, for we openly disgrace our brother in the eyes of the world, causing others to despise him. Isn't that true? And that's what Jesus says. It is worse to put him down. But our anger hurts us as well. Think of it in the terms of acid. Acid is contained in a vessel, but it will, over time, damage even the best vessel. Right? It will damage the vessel in which it is stored, as well as destroy the object on which it is poured. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Acid burns things, and so does anger. Anger is what really hurts. And most of us have felt that anger at one time or another. Someone said that anger is like a poison that we swallow in order to hurt the other and hope that he dies, but in the end it only hurts us and the other. When you swallow poison, it isn't the other person that dies, it's you. So your anger hurts other people, but it also hurts you. So Jesus says, when you are offering your gift at the altar, and you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift to God. If you will learn to deal with anger in that way, it will bless two people, the person with whom we are in conflict, and us. And it will please God, who loves to see us acting like children of the Heavenly Father. So, I like to close this with a moment of silence. I like to invite you to really think about your life, where you are angry at someone else, or where you remember that your anger has hurt someone else, or someone else's anger has hurt you. And you still carry on that pain around with you. So pray for the grace to rid yourself of that poison and pray for the grace to reconcile with that person. Let's take a moment and think about it and pray about it. Amen.
Now if we can all turn in our hymnals to number 407, We Are People of God's Peace. If everyone could now stand for the benediction and then remain standing for our closing hymn, which will be number 430 in our blue hymn books. May God bless us and keep us. May the very face of God shine upon us and be gracious to us. May God lift his countenance upon us and grant us his peace. Amen. So number 430 in the blue hymnal, God be with you.